Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's hump day. It's also way back Wednesday, and we have decided to put a little twist on the play today. So we are going 80s one-hit wonders for this way back Wednesday, which should be fun.
So we're only doing one-hit wonders. Then I need to modify my list. I thought we were doing either or.
No, it's not. It's not just because I... Okay. We're not doing one-hit wonders.
Oh, I thought... I misunderstood when we were going back and forth, and you said yes to both, or someone said yes to both, and I went, okay, so then I just went one-hit wonders from the 80s.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
Because I've got some one-hit wonders, and I don't know, Nick, do you have any one-hit wonders on your list?
I might have a couple one-hit wonders, but a lot of them are not.
So. That's fine. Yeah,
but
no,
since the accounting firm of Blank, Sciarra, and Laminack got together and decided this is no longer a contest, therefore there is no decisions to be made, therefore all rules are out the window and we can just play the songs for the betterment and enjoyment of the audience.
Yeah, we should play Joel's first one because I don't want you to get shorted. That's the thing. I think we should. I mean, one thought was let's open up the show with one of our Way Back Wednesday songs, but then... Production-wise, I think that becomes more of a hassle than it's worth.
Right.
So then I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, instead what we could do is we'll just play it like after the intro and at some point.
That works.
Yeah, just fit it in. Look, here we go. Is this the first one?
Yep. This is Joel's first one.
Can I tell you how bad I wanted their hair?
Dude, that was the serious swoop, too.
And I remember them dancing. Do you remember this video on MTV?
He was behind the keyboard.
Yeah, and they were spinning in that glass. It kind of looked like Enter the Dragon with the mirror scene, right? I remember this being so badass.
I'm watching the video right now.
And I remember thinking how, like, badass, cutting edge, like, punk style.
They were kind of edgy that way.
Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah. Flock of Seagulls was like, remember, Dale Bozzio and Missing Persons.
Yeah.
Was the female version. She had the blonde kind of eagle floop swoop hair, and then they had the two stripes, like really bright colored stripes under her eyes.
Yep.
Almost like eye black.
I really feel like all day long if you videoed me, it would just be me doing the Carlton. Just the whole day because of the music we're gonna play. It would just be the Carlton.
Still on my running playlist.
This is on your running playlist? Yeah.
This is the jam.
I like it. Yeah.
It's pretty ironic that you run to Iran.
That's why I did it. That's why, that's why I do it.
Aren't you supposed to listen to Iran after you ran?
Yeah.
Or is it Iran? What's it called? Iran or Iran?
Iran.
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 Yep.
Yeah.
Not the country.
I prefer Iraq. Never mind. After I'm bowling.
And speaking of Carlton, right. Who's, by the way, a very egotistical a-hole in person.
Is he really?
Yeah. I've played golf with him. But
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah, but did you see that they had a reunion?
Got his start on Silver Spoons.
That's correct.
And he was also a Michael Jackson impersonator.
That's correct. And now all he has to hang his hat on is that everybody wants him to do the Carlton one more time.
Yeah.
But he would go to that Lake Tahoe golf tournament and everything and just, like, he wanted to be the center of everything. But they just had they had a reunion for the Fresh Prince.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first mom. Because then they replace her after a couple
of
years.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
She refused Vivian. She refused to take part in it. There's an article out now. She refused to take part in it, and she basically just went balls out ripping
Alfonso Ribeiro
first and Will Smith.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to try and find that article for you, but I was kind of shocked.
That's a good first choice, by the way. Way to kick off Way Back Wednesday, 80s edition.
Nick, you were actually cutting some rug in there a little bit.
Yeah, I like this song, man. I used to jam to this song all the time. I mean, me, but my parents were big. No, I mean, most of the American music that they enjoyed were in the 80s.
Yeah, it's funny because when you go through, once you go through the 80s, like when you're in there, you're invested in the music, and then you hit the 90s and you're like, man, that stuff was corny. That was whack.
Yeah.
And now you're in the 20-teens and you're like, the 80s were great. Yeah, like, I missed that.
I'm glad I'm right at that age where I caught like the tail end of the 80s because even though I heard most of it in the late 80s, they kept replaying the stuff from the early 80s and the late 70s. So you always enjoy like Mix 96.5, home of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So it kind of kept you in tune with all the older music that was kind of past your time.
That's good. That's you need to be.
So Aunt Viv.
Uh huh.
Aunt Viv, after they had a reunion recently of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, posted a response to a picture Alfonso Ribeiro posted of everybody that was at the reunion. She says, I know the media hope Alfonso Ribeiro has posted his so-called reunion photos. Folks keep telling me about it. He was always the asswipe for Will Smith. There will never be a true reunion of the Fresh Prince. I have no interest in seeing any of these people on that kind of level. Wow. I'm not offended in the least by any photos. It was an event for charity. Therefore, I get it. But wait for Hollywood to pitch my memoir, Perfection is Not a Sitcom Mom, and tell the behind-the-scenes stories before I die.
My goodness.
A little bitterness.
Viv is pissed.
Yes.
The day of reckoning is near.
Fired up and not liking Alfonso for sure.
And he also does, now he's doing the America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right. Yep.
And it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Like, he's worse than Bob Saget was. And Bob Saget was bad on that
show.
Bob
Saget made a lot of money for a lot of years
doing
that
show. He did, but that doesn't mean he was good at it.
No, it's true.
What saved that show was obviously the videos. It wasn't Bob Saget. But then when they had Family Feud guy do it in between, what was his name?
Which guy? The new Family Feud?
Tom.
The real kind of straight-laced.
He was good.
Game show host guy?
Yeah. He was the best one on America's Funniest Home Videos, without a doubt. Alfonso Ribeiro or whatever sucks.
Now, you're old enough to remember the original Candid Camera, too, right? Before
I
all that?
I do. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I do remember it, yes.
God, my parents loved that.
Did they?
Yeah, they loved them some Alan Funt.
Yeah. So I got a text already that declared me the winner for Way Back Wednesday already.
Okay.
You thought that first song was yours?
No, just because of my Pepsi ad tweet.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys see this thing that's going on?
Is that the new Kardashian one?
Yeah.
Or Kylie Jenner?
Yeah, and I tweeted a picture of, so the Pepsi ad one, no matter where you stand on the issue or whether you think it's a big deal or not, my takeaway from the ad is she is definitely a Jenner. And not a Kardashian, because she has absolutely zero ass.
I knew you were going to say that.
And go look. I've tweeted a picture of it. She looks like I don't know, like an assless woman. She looks like she left her ass at home. You know how like you leave the house sometimes, you're like, oh, I left my wallet?
Yep.
It's like she was in a hurry for the shoot and left her ass at home. It's really bad.
She forgot the Lee press-on butt?
Yeah, it's really bad.
It is bad. It's flat.
And so she's definitely not a Kardashian. And do you know what's going on with the Pepsi thing?
I didn't see the full ad, but I did. Yeah. I hear there's a lot of controversy. I saw a lot on social media.
So Pepsi made an ad where there was this rally going on. It's a peace rally, and it's multicultural peace rally, and they have these couple of people, you know, that the ad revolves around. One of them is like an artist, a musician, And another one is this artist, and I guess she's, I don't know what, I don't want to be culturally insensitive and say what she is if she's not that. But it's obviously, she's not just a plain Jane white American chick, right? So they get caught up in the rally, and they go to it, and they're marching in the peace rally or whatever it is. And then Kylie Jenner's dumbass is there doing a model shoot, and she gets caught up in the rally, and she takes her fake hair off and wipes off her lipstick. And she takes her no-having ass out there and starts marching with him. But then she goes up to a cop and gives him a Pepsi. And the cop smiles and drinks the Pepsi. And everyone's like, hold on a minute. That's not how this goes down. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then they were saying that there was this one picture of an African-American woman who was being arrested by the cops. And I think she was still trying to give them water. But they're in riot gear and they're arresting her. And they're like, were they trying to mimic what that lady was doing? And then they were just talking about how it's insensitive to what's been going on in this country the last couple of years with the protests and how they've been handled and whatnot. So again, where you fall on that, I don't really, I mean, I don't have any opinion on it, to be honest with you, because I think I understand what Pepsi was trying to do.
Sure.
But it was done poorly. You know what I mean? Like, I saw one lady on CNN that was like, first of all, they have a white woman doing this. Second of all, when this is going on and there's, you know, brown men and black men and brown women and black women going through this, the police are in riot gear and they're not just standing there, and you don't just walk up and hand them a Pepsi and they start smiling.
Right.
So it's kind of insensitive to what those folks are going through. So that's what's been said. My big takeaway from it, no ass. Like, she has no...
That's the biggest takeaway.
And she's not pretty. I don't know why we want to say she's pretty.
I've seen...
You got to have ass to be pretty.
Well, pretty starts with the grill, and I don't think she's ugly.
I think she's kind of plain, bro. She's kind of plain. She's just...
And I'll say this. Kim should have never messed with her own face.
She's not like
Kim
her mom, was, dad, but she's...
But Kim was as naturally beautiful just of a face.
Yes.
And messed with it and didn't need to do all that.
True.
So.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner's no... She's not as hot as her mom, dad, but she's all right.
Now, Khloe, on the other hand. Oof.
Khloe Kardashian?
Ooh, boy, that's
right. I'm talking about the Jenners. Isn't there another Jenner? There's Kylie Jenner?
There's two... Well, there was two younger ones, right? Both are on the Jenner side?
There's Kendall Jenner.
Yep.
Yeah, and Kylie Jenner.
There you go.
Is there another one?
I don't think so.
So, of the two, I think I like Kendall Jenner better. I think she's got that schoolgirl look to her.
Yeah, I can't tell them apart, but there's one of them that's, I think,
but
that's
Kylie's like
place.
19, so she's barely, you're barely not a creep. But but Kendall's 21, so you can get her drunk.
I don't have to check the IDs. I'm just going off the TV screen.
You can drop that Molly on Kendall because she can drink. So.
There you go. Yeah. Call AJ right now on the break.
That's right.
All right, so Angel Munoz says you're wrong, Barry. She's probably the only real Kardashian. The others have fake asses.
Oh. Somebody's correcting me. It's Kendall, Kylie. Whatever. You get the point.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with them, okay?
Ben Herp said,
settle down.
Ani Viv was pissed like Screech was from Saved by the Bell. I said, was that before or after he did coke and porn? Because he went off the deep end hard. Another Wisconsinite, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then our man Lamont says, Geraldo Rico Suave was his favorite one-hit wonder throwback.
Oh, yes.
Little known fact, Rico Suave is actually Adrian Zmed, who was in Bachelor Party and several sitcoms as an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
Yeah. Kendall Jenner, by the way. I got it wrong. Kendall Jenner. I'm sorry I'm not hip with my Jenner references.
Now, Nick, you'd be allowed to be more in tune with and critical of the Jenner girls.
Yeah, and I just, it's not because it's, you know, beyond me. I think she's hot and everything. I just don't pay attention to them very much.
Yeah,
it's
good
either.
For you.
I just
That's
don't.
Why
I really don't. Otherwise, I would tell you all about them, but
I just
don't.
Good for you. She definitely doesn't blind me with science.
I love that. Thomas Dolby, baby. Another one-hit wonder. Poetry.
Wasn't this in a movie?
I think so. A lot of these songs.
Yeah.
All right, we're a little bit past our time for our first step away session. So we're going to take a quick one. And be back with a whole lot more. It is way back on Wednesday, whether it's one-hit wonders or not. We're going to go back in the 80s today for you. So feel free to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can call and text and or hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4 o'clock. We are the usual suspects. And this is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
A Curious World of Disbelief is coming back to Houston. Win two tickets to see Curious by Cirque du Soleil for opening night this Thursday, April 6th at 8 p.m. Don't miss the most acclaimed Big Top show. The show will run April 6th to May 21st under the Big Top at Sam Houston Race Park. Tickets start at $35. You can get tickets at CirqueDuSoleil.com, or you could win some right now if you're caller number 10 to 713-780-3776. At 713-780-3776, be caller number 10, and you'll win two tickets to Cirque du Soleil April 6th.
How about that?
Yeah. This is the all-time club anthem.
Yep.
Of every song that's ever been made, I don't know of a song that could more universally fill a dance floor in any type of club.
That's a good point.
You could go urban club, Tejano club, straight cracker club.
But don't sell your short on just...
Oh, I should say, I'm sorry, that was offensive.
Yes, it was.
It's the proper term is casserole monkey. That's what we call white people.
Wow.
Casserole monkey.
That's what we call white people.
I think you're going to introduce new words that have to be dumped.
Casserole monkey doesn't need to be dumped. That's a new thing to call white people.
Okay.
You could, like, literally a country bar. If you play this, belt buckles all over the dance floor shaking.
But don't sell yourself to just short to just clubs. Like, when I DJed back in college, too.
Yeah.
From bar mitzvahs to weddings to whatever you played, if you played this song, you're right.
Gladys!
You know,
let's go!
Yeah, you get, like, Edna and Ralph come up and go, I'd like to hear at least one Frank Sinatra before we go home. And then all of a sudden you play this and they're like, hey, it's got a beat.
Let's hit the floor, Gladys. I think I'm going to pop a chub.
Canes in the air.
Yeah.
They had the canes in the air rocking them like they didn't care.
Yeah, for sure, dude. This is the one. I challenge you to name me on Twitter or text at Barry's Funny. Another song that would be more of a club anthem, a more universally accepted and known song that packs the dance floor
better,
than this.
But I'll give you one that rivals it.
If you say AC/DC,
nope.
I'm slapping the crap
nope,
out of you.
Nope,
what?
Nope, nope,
what?
Nope. Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Part 2.
No way. No way. I don't even know what that song is.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to say
you know
no way.
Do?
Why?
Nick, find Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Part 2.
He's got you as Casey Kasem now.
Sorry, I know you know how much I hate when everybody used to do that to you, but
Nick, get the song now!
If it's been in an NBA arena and overplayed.
No way. No way.
Oh my God. People come out of their seats clapping their hands.
I was a DJ for years. I would never play
this song.
I know this song.
Okay.
I would never play this at a club.
I didn't say it was better than Rob Bass.
There's no way this packs the dance floor like Rob Bass.
And what's the
This is a stadium anthem, not a club anthem.
Yeah, that's true.
But good song. Definitely gets you going.
This one's another one that brings the old people out of the woodwork.
Yes.
As well as the newer version was Y'all Ready for This? That was the arena anthem that turned out to be kind of clubby.
Which one?
Y'all Ready for This?
Oh yeah. But that was again more stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another. That was all those were all on the when ESPN did Jock Jams.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Tone Loc Wild Thing is what Lamont said. Nope. Sorry. Tone Loc Wild Thing does not pack the dance floor. It's a good one. It is certainly a good one. Young MC's Bust a Move, another one. But remember, you're talking, that probably works more at Casserole Monkey clubs than it probably did or ever would at a black club. That's a fact. And I've been to both plenty times. You play Tone Loc at Kokomo's back in the day, not packing the dance floor like Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. Not happening.
And that's that is just word from because black guys love you.
Yeah, what's that?
I want to be like the I want to be like the others. I just want to start preaching to the to everybody that black guys love you.
Yeah,
black guys love us. I mean, we go to the gym.
Oh,
with the
I see. I yeah, see what you're what doing, I'm doing there. Yeah. Okay. I was like, what is happening here? Is he getting racist?
No, because I know I get so tired.
There's a certain person
yes.
at another station.
And by the way, Yo that. Adrian comes up with one that I contemplated for today. New shoes.
Nope.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
I scratched it, but that was a big one. That yep. was popular back in the day.
Dr. Dre says Macarena.
No
Stop
way.
It, sir.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Stop it. Jump Around, House of Pain. Sorry, Gabriel. Still not packing it like Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. Nelly, Hot in Here. No.
Naughty by Nature.
No. Mama Said Knock You Out. Not happening, guys. Nothing packs it like Rob Bass.
You gotta understand.
Now, I will say this. I will say one. There's one other song. One other song. Harlem Shuffle. That might pack the dance floor as much as Rob Bass.
So. I can tell you the other one. The Electric Slide.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But white people don't know how to do that. So.
But they try real hard.
True.
And they learn on the fly when they can. I love this song, too.
It's a good one.
Because the King made it. Made the whole chorus popular.
It's true.
Rockwell. That video was interesting as well. All right, so we've got plenty to get to. Way Back Wednesdays is all about the 80s, so we're going to continue to play those throughout the three-hour program. We got a little special treat for you coming up next, especially for one of our listeners who kind of almost got to the point of freaking Nick and I out with his attraction to Muggsy Bogues back in the day when he was a young child. Josh Rapp, who grew up in Charlotte, was a Hornet season ticket holder, but has more multiple signed pictures of him and Muggsy Bogues than I think I could care to imagine. But Muggsy Bogues is going to join us next. We'll get his take on everything NBA and basketball, including the MVP race, the playoffs, and other things. If you have questions, feel free to try and fire us up, and so we'll try to get them in as well. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, I like this song back in the day.
That's good stuff.
Musical Youth. Pass the Dutchie.
This is good stuff right here.
I love that AJ's chiming in, and then at the bottom of his tweet, after he gave three songs, it yep. says, translate from Indonesian.
Yep. I don't know why that is.
I didn't know he spoke Indonesian. What,
didn't know that Genuine, maybe?
Maybe.
Outcast? I don't know.
I don't know.
So, two... We've had two suggestions that would come close to filling the dance floor with Rob Bass.
Okay.
AJ's is one of them, with Salt-N-Pepa's Push It.
Yep.
That will pack it. And Lamont said, hold on, I've got it. Baby Got Back. That is another one that will get any dance floor in any club going. But I'm still going to say Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
And it I will say two. This. The other thing is, you know how everybody always tries to get, when Roxanne comes on, they always try to get the first Roxanne and they yell it and they're always off key and like way too early?
Yep.
Whenever Sir Mix-a-Lot came on, you had every white girl in the building just going, oh my God,
yep.
and trying to do that too.
Yes, without a doubt. We got a ton of other suggestions, but without
we'll
further
get to
ado.
Them. Yeah, we got a special guest coming up right now. Long time. Member of the Charlotte Hornets, one of the biggest personalities in the league, and one of the guys that was always fun to watch. Muggsy Bogues is now joining us on the HR&P hotline, and we welcome you to the show, Muggsy. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You got Barry and Joel here in Houston. First thing I wanted to ask you, from an outsider's perspective, it's the hot topic going on right now. You got James Harden, you got the season that he's having and all the numbers he's putting up, but then you got Russell Westbrook, and I have said all along, I think James is going to get hurt by the fact that the national media is going to jump on board and ride this whole triple-double thing to a victory for Russell Westbrook. What's your take on the MVP?
jump on board. How can you not jump on board? Only one person has ever done it in the history of the game of basketball. I mean, that's a feat in itself. I'm loving what James Harden is doing with Houston Rockets. I love what Dan Antonio has instilled with his confidence as well as his play on the floor. But you cannot negate what Russell Westbrook is doing night in and night out. The triple-double, averaging that, like I said, is only one player that's ever done it, and that's the big O. So, you know, those guys are having an unbelievable season, but if he's able to average it all the way through, I mean, I can't see no other way of not giving it to him.
Hey, Muggsy, take me back real quick, man, because back when you were drafted in 87, first round, 12th overall pick, I imagine if you flash back before that from, you know, the time you started playing ball in high school up till you were drafted, what was that process like? What did you go through? Because I'm sure you know, people were telling you wouldn't be able to play. You play with guys like Reggie Williams, Reggie Lewis, David Wingate. What was it like going through that and getting to that point?
Well, people kind of take it for granted that I played 14 years in the league and that I just planted myself there. You know, it was a barrier that I had to break down, mindsets. You know, back in the early 70s, you know, the coaches just love big guards. You know, they just love big guards. So each and every moment, no matter which level that you had success on, they always kept saying, well, they're bigger and stronger on the next level. Even no matter what I did, even once I got to college, my last year in 86, being able to be put in this setting of an NBA in terms of playing, representing the World Games in 86, going over there and representing our country, put myself in that NBA setting, kind of now gave the NBA scouts a little, you know, inquisitive mind, maybe, but still, you know, had to carry it all the way up until those camps, you know, the Portsmouth and the Chicago camp, the last showing that I had to continue to prove that I am capable of, I do belong on this level, and I'll be, you know, and I feel like I should be a first-round draft pick. So you still keep proving it, even once I got drafted. In each day, you still got to keep proving yourself. But, you know, it was a tough, but for me, you know, I just looked at it as something that I had to keep climbing the ladder, keep breaking down the barriers, and keep letting folks that they know the game is meant for whoever had the ability to play the game of basketball.
Muggsy, how much did a guy like Calvin Murphy help to motivate you because of the fact that he had kind of paved the way and been there, done that? Like you said, he wasn't the big physical presence as a guard, but flat out just got it done, just like you did. I mean, size is just, you know, an obstacle to some people, but if you can play, you can play. And Murph kind of paved the way for some of the guys that weren't that big in size to play the game on the next level.
Yeah, Murph paved the way, you know, Charlie Crist and Tiny Archibald, all those guys. But it was hard for me. I still couldn't look at them as, you know, someone who I want to emulate because no one played the way I played. But by them having been there and done it, as they consider being small, you know, Toddy was 6'1". Cal, right there, right at the cuffs of 6'5", 11". So, but, you know, for my size, still, even though they was considered small, you know, I guess the way they looked at me was, like, even smaller. So you got to continue to keep, you know, showcasing your skill set and let them know that, you know, again, what you're capable of doing on the basketball court, regardless of how big or tall you are, if you had that ability and able to orchestrate out there, which I felt that I had that ability to do so, you know, you're able to play on any level.
And when you were drafted to the Bullets, and they had Manute Bol at the time, who was 7'7", you know, tallest guy. So they had the tallest guy and the shortest guy in the NBA. Did you try to distance yourself from that spectacle, so to speak, because you wanted to be taken serious, or did you not care? You just kind of soaked it all in.
Well, you know, it was a lot of stuff that was overwhelming. You know, for one, being drafted number in the first round, going back in your own backyard, which Baltimore, D.C., was just like your backyard. You know, being able to play, you know, you dreamt it so much. And having to play with a guy like a Moses Malone, who you idolized so much. And then here it is, you're meeting a Manute Bol, who's the tallest, and then here you have the shortest. You know, at first I didn't pay much attention to it. It was just a game. Just, you know, they happened to have the short and the tall of it. But as you start getting a little deeper into it, you felt like it could have been used as a novelty act. in terms of them probably wanting to sell tickets of this. But for me, it didn't bother me at all because, hey, I'm just happy that they selected me and drafted. I just wanted to go out there and play the game and showcase my skill and my talent. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to play it all the way through in Washington. But, you know, again, you know, things happen for a reason, and I was fortunate enough to go to Charlotte and let the world know what a guy my size is capable of doing on the NBA level.
Do you watch today's game and think, man, I would have thrived even more than I did when I played in today's kind of game?
Well, I'm quite sure every year I look at that. You know, you look at the, you know, where you got drafted, the scale of it, where the money is, and how the game is being played now. But, you know, I don't get caught up in it too much. And I appreciated my time when I played it. You know, it gave me, served everything that I can possibly ask for it. I'm loving what's happening today. You know, I know a lot of the older guys get caught up in, you know, not so much hating on the guys, on the younger generation, but the game is totally different. And, you know, you got to credit that. You got to acknowledge that, I should say, that the game is different from when we played. It's not as physical. The emphasis is more on the three-point. You got a small, you got a stretch four as opposed to a power forward. So, you know, you got guys that's out there that's, you know, where the game is today, and they're taking advantage of it. And but it's a great product that they put out there on the floor, the NBA does.
All right, Muggs, I got to ask you, man, because, you know, I knew that you had, what, you had a 44-inch vertical back in the day? And I knew,
yeah,
as much as everybody, you know, knew you were tough and strong and put up numbers, you could fly a little bit too. Now, there's a rumor that says that you didn't dunk because you couldn't hold the ball with one hand. But there's also another rumor that says before a game you actually dunked. They said it hasn't been confirmed. Can you confirm that you've thrown down before?
Oh, I've dunked plenty of times. I just couldn't palm a basketball. I can just grab a volleyball, just go up and just slam it very easily. And but for basketball, he had to come off the rim really good, off good, and then catch it, throw it in. Yeah, I mean, I've said plenty of times where I've dunked the basketball, but I never dunked in a game. You know, again, dunking wasn't too big a thrill for me. Two was two. I always say longevity always live longer. But, you know, that was the game, though. But I could get up there and catch it. I put it through there quite a few times.
Well, I know you had some rejections, including one on Patrick Ewing that everybody remembers. Your thoughts on Pat finally getting a chance to be a head coach going back to his alma mater at Georgetown?
So happy for the big fella. I mean, so happy for him. Well-deserved. You know, he put his time in the right way. He spent 15 years as an assistant. He's seen it all. You know, all the X's and O's, how to manage players, the egos, and so forth, as well as, you know, being humble as a Hall of Famer. So now he get an opportunity to go and, you know, embrace these young athletes, to get them and teach them how to be student athletes, and possibly put them on a path to where they can reach their dreams and maybe one day play in the NBA or let alone just graduate and live a better, successful life. And so I'm just happy for him, and I'm glad for his family as well as the Georgetown organization.
Muggsy Bogues on the HRMP listener line joining us right now. Muggsy, have you ever thought about coaching? You know, you mentioned Ewing, and we talked about that. Is that something you've ever considered?
You did it in the WNBA, right?
Yeah, I did it in the WNBA. I did it in high school. You know, I love coaching. I love teaching. Right opportunity just got to come, and I just got to start putting myself in terms of in that position, in that situation, in terms of trying to coach on the next level. But one day, you know, who knows? But I love the game, love teaching it. Opportunity may present itself here. Who knows?
Muggs, real quick, another one of the big stories in the NBA this year has been rest. You guys played the same number of games. You guys had the same grind of a schedule. Your thoughts on some of these guys that feel like without an injury that they need to rest in order to be at their best in the league?
Well, it's a different era now, and everything is so different. And like I say, the NBA is always going to be a trend. If anybody feel like they have success, and then another team see that, they're going to try to duplicate it. And that's what Pop created. You know, that's what he created. And now you got all the other guys sitting out, brushing up. But it comes down to the individual. You know, you got to know your body, know what you mean. And then when you're a super, superstar, you know, you got to realize that, you know, a lot of families come to watch you. A lot of people come to see you. But that shouldn't be the main goal. But you should have that type of understanding that, hey, you know, this is not only for myself and my team, but these are for the folks that really, you know, come and spend their hard dollars on it. You know, the league got a responsibility as well, you know, because they got sponsors that take on that partnership, and then they look forward for these guys to keep elevating the game. So it's a catch-22, you know, and the coach is going to try to do whatever's best for them to win. And then when you're in that situation, you know, but we just talked about it because everybody is not in that situation. We're only talking about a couple guys. So, you know, really, as you realistically, you're only talking about a couple guys because everybody's not talking about if someone from the Hornets sit out a game or someone from Brooklyn Nets sit out a game. So it's an emphasis on who it is sitting out. But, again, I wish everybody well. I think they would probably use it to their best.
Well, hey, man, Frank Kaminsky does need some rest.
Hey, Muggsy, before we let you go, man, two things that I wanted to tell you. First of all, I was looking on your website, and I tell you what, you know, you go to a lot of players and ex-players' websites, and they sometimes have merchandise, and let's be real, most of it's pretty whack, right? I'm not going to lie, dude, the shirts you have on your website are legit. Like, I really like this one that you have where he says you can't teach heart, and it's you holding the ball with the Dunbar jersey on. That is dope, man. Yeah. Congrats on having some actually legit gear for people to pick up. So I wanted to tell you that, and then I wanted to tell you we have a listener named Josh Rapp who grew up in Charlotte, and he was without a doubt your biggest fan. He's got pictures that he was tweeting me and Joel this morning that you've autographed for him when you've got your arm around him. He actually, you and him ended up on a season ticket that actually was also his birthday, but he just wanted to, I asked him, you got a question you want me to ask Muggsy? He said, no, just tell him I said thanks, you know, for all the memories, the incredible memories, and I was a huge Hornets fan, so I just wanted to pass that along to you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's a small world, man. As many people that I come in contact with, I truly appreciate their support, and I try to just give it right back to them, you know, because we do play the game, but without their support and without, you know, that little push there, it makes a difference. Even though you got some negative, you know, folks out there, but the ones that really stands out, the ones that kind of truly appreciate the things that you've done. So I appreciate that little information that you gave me, and I hope that that he's doing well as we speak.
No doubt. Well, you can find him on MuggsyBogues.com. You can also find him on Twitter at MuggsyBogues. And we appreciate you spending some time with us, Muggsy. You'll never be a stranger again here. If you ever want to join us again for any reason, please feel free. We love having you on, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All the best to you.
All right. Muggsy Bogues has been our guest right here on The Usual Suspects. We'll step away for a quick break. Be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hot chocolate cooking on the stove.
I miss you, Julius,
so,
baby.
I miss you so much today, baby. I followed you.
Ultimate stalker song.
Orin Juice Jones.
I was listening to this on the way in, no lie.
Really?
Not even lying to you. It was in the rotation.
I like it.
That was a good interview, man. Good get for you, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, good job.
Good job hustling Muggsy Bogues up.
Yeah, and thanks to Brittany Bogues, the daughter of Muggsy, for hooking me up, man. I think she's got her own little PR company that she's working on. So
yeah?
Much appreciated.
Is she local,
Brittany,
here in Houston?
I do not know. I don't think she is.
I tell you, he was a good interview, and he was very, you know, he was pretty candid with his answers. But when Muggsy Bogues said, "It's a small world,"
I heard a little laugh. Was that you laughing, or
yeah,
Joel?
You can't do can't do that to a comedian. Like, I was just like, ha. I was like, ha.
See, I thought it was Joel.
No.
I was biting through my tongue. I caught it. And I was like, I see what he did there.
That's like boy, look at this juicy steak, and you got it in front of a Rottweiler, and you're just like, oh, look at this steak, and nope, you can't have none. I was like, really? Did he just, really? I was, yeah. It was pretty funny. But, you know, he was a good interview, man. And I'm telling you guys, go to MugsyBogues.com and tell me I'm lying about his gear.
Yeah,
for some reason. His gear's legit.
Dude, he played at Dunbar when Dunbar was the high school to go to in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I think Sam Cassell went to Dunbar after that because Sam's from Baltimore. But Dunbar was the bomb back in the day from a high school perspective where they went and got recruits. He played at Wake Forest, too. I mean, people just look at him and don't realize 14 years in the NBA means you could play.
Okay, but so I don't want to discredit our wonderful guest.
Okay.
But I know that this dunk was a rumor that was never confirmed, but he did say he dunked.
Plenty of times, too.
Plenty of times he said.
I want to humor me for one moment. And I'm just going to, and I haven't done this in advance. I was thinking about it on the way back into the studio, and I was like, I'm not even going to do the math off air. We're going to do it live. Okay? So.
I know what you're going to do.
Muggsy Bogues is 5'3".
44-inch vertical.
Hold on.
Right?
Joel, we got to build the suspense.
Oh, sorry.
Muggsy Bogues is 5'3".
Yeah.
How many inches is that? If he's 5 foot, that's 63 inches. That's 63 inches. Okay? If you add his vertical to that, that's 44 inches. That's 107.
Yep.
Inches total. Okay? How tall is a basketball goal in inches?
10 feet.
It's 10 feet times 12 inches, right? It's 120. There's about a foot and a half gap here that I can't account for.
But you're not counting the arms.
Oh, good call, Nick.
The reach.
You get an extra.
It's a good call.
Foot or two.
It's a very good
you
call.
You think?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
He's right.
Okay. So how long do you think his arms are? Because what they'll tell you is usually if you spread your arms, your wingspan is about how tall you are. So we could say his wingspan is 5'3"?
Well,
that's
tough.
A tough question.
Here's the thing. If you're standing straight up and you put your hand over your head,
yeah.
I don't think you're getting too.
You're not getting the full wingspan.
You're not getting 2 feet, but still.
You're not getting a foot and a half because it's at your elbow.
Right.
So basically from his elbow to the tip of his finger, or to his wrist, because the ball's got to go over. So from the elbow to the wrist needed to be a foot and a half on a 5'3" man.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't know.
It's going to be difficult.
It's going to be close.
5'3".
I have a feeling it was a lot more getting hung on the rim than we're going
over.
Now,
I want you to do the math on Spud.
Well, he's what, 5'8", or was 5'8"?
Yeah.
And he had, what, a 46?
Something like that.
So he's got about a foot almost.
Yeah.
Extra.
Yeah.
And we're a foot and a half short. So if you're telling me 6 inches from the elbow to the wrist, I'm buying that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can buy Muggsy Duncan.
Dude was ripped up. Dude was an athlete.
I wouldn't tell him that to his face because he would literally whoop my ass. That is a buff dude. Even now.
And you talk about a guy low with his center of gravity and how low to the ground. The way he got steals in the NBA was, dude, he just got up in your jock and he did not leave.
Yep.
He was tough, man. Like I said, a 14-year career. And some of those Hornets teams,
yep,
the first stint and go around in Charlotte when you had Zoe and LJ and Del Curry and Bobby Phills, God rest his soul, that ended up passing away in that when they were drag racing their cars after practice with David Wesley.
Yeah.
They had some good teams in Charlotte.
Everybody's tweeting and texting me telling me I'm an idiot because I didn't add his arm. We did. We added in his arm, and we calculated that you would have to get about a foot and a half from his elbow to his wrist in order for that to work. So.
Wow. You know, Lamont told me that
AJ said I was an idiot for not adding in his arm. I did! Thanks to Nick, I wouldn't have.
Can you translate that? Can you translate that in Indonesian?
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't give that this much. But thank God, the math still doesn't. Yeah.
AJ's tweets are also available in Indonesian.
Yeah. Why were you mean to Josh Rapp?
I asked him the same question. I don't know. He said before the interview, you goofed on me for having too many picks with Muggsy.
Yeah, why do you? You're so mean to our listeners. I don't understand why.
Yeah, because we don't get any hate.
Yeah, but not from Josh.
He said, it's all in good fun. He knows.
No, he doesn't. I have a feeling you really hurt him.
Here we go.
Here's Joel's last jam of the hour.
It's Eddie Murphy.
Yes, it is.
Talk about a one-hit wonder. I wonder why he had a hit. This is terrible. You like the song?
I didn't put it on the list because I hate it.
So you really legitimately like this song?
I used to like, back in the, when it was popular, I really liked this song.
So you bought the single or the whole album?
I don't know if I remember doing all that.
No, I want to know.
I don't remember. You always want to know.
I have a feeling you bought the whole Eddie Murphy album.
No way.
Thinking, like, much like the Vanilla Ice album.
I wasn't enrolling in money.
This
if you
is
didn't have a couple of hits
jam.
On an album, I ain't buying it.
Yeah, I have a... did you dub it
I'd
off
I'd record
of
it off
radio?
The radio. Hell yes, I would.
We'll be back on K-Mac right after this. My girl wants it. Joel's like, damn it, you're in the mixtape,
Shut
DJ.
Up and let the song roll. I need the whole song.
That's good stuff.
No doubt. All right, so who's up next? Who's hour two?
Nick, because I haven't emailed mine yet.
I can do mine, yeah.
Nick's up for hour number two of Way Back Wednesday's 80s Jams. We'll get into that with Nick. We'll get into a whole lot more. We haven't even touched on the Astros undefeated, looking to go 162-0.
Yeah. Is Adam still
there? Adam, don't go anywhere. We appreciate you hanging in. You want to talk about the draft now. So we'll get you in next, coming back from break. And we'll get a whole lot more going on as well with 2 hours left to go. We'd love to have your participation. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're the usual suspect. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.